It's the 8 for 52 podcast. Here's Bushy.
Episode 18, season 2 of the 8 for 52 podcast is a go. Bushy with you as always, and as always joining me now, Natasha Mlani. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Bushy. 18 episodes, three overs done.
No wides, no extras, just six deliveries, every over, perfect, right on the spot, handkerchief.
Length.
Absolutely. Another big show. Shall we start? Let's talk about who you've managed to snag as the My Story guest this week.
So from the same club as our last guest and a very similar origin story, it's Hong Kong's frontline wicketkeeper batsman, Zeeshan Ali.
Yay! The man that calls me old man is going to be on the podcast. I'm still salty about that. I'll be having words to Zeeshan Ali when he comes on in My Story. Listen out for that one. And he will be joining us with a brace on his hand due to an injury during the All-Stars series. We talked halfway through the All-Stars series last week. The last two games, Kowloon Lions looking for a spot, didn't get one.
Dusted.
Yeah, again by the New Territories Tigers, who went into the final undefeated and remained that way with a big win in the final against the Hong Kong Islanders.
Very unusual for the team that is top of the group stage to actually win the final of the All-Star Series. From my memory, usually it's the team who comes second who gets the final, but NT Tigers unbeaten, 3-3. Well done to Yassim's team.
Well, as I said to Martin Kutsia at the toss, he won the toss, and he decided to bowl first. Did he?
No, he batted first. Islanders batted first.
So
he didn't shake his hand in the final. I saw that.
I ran out of the ground at the end of the game. He was waiting for his taxi, and I yelled across Tin Kwong Road, "Martin, I'm so sorry. I didn't shake your hand. I caught a glimpse of it out of the side of my eye as I was panning back to the camera. I wasn't deliberate." And then I went, "Oh my goodness, I better make sure I shake Yassim." So it looked doubly worse because I made sure deliberately to shake Yassim Murtaza's hand. Oh, it was a disaster.
Never Martin, poor man.
I shook his hand at the end after he'd lost. But yes, apologies again to Martin Kutsia. And his team, he won the toss. So one of two things was going to happen.
Yeah.
A team batting second was going to win, or a team that won the toss was going to win. Because neither of those two things had happened before the final.
Yeah.
In the end, it was no good for the Islanders. They were rolled for how much? I mean, I was there.
136.
Oh, yeah.
And Ayush and Sheria doing the damage to the new ball. That's a really good new ball pairing on a green.
Oh, it was ridiculous. I'm unbelievable. And again, Yassim Murtaza, two big snags and slipped. One just threw the hand up at the top, and there's another one where he's doing a cartwheel.
Yeah.
The best part about that, when I went back and clipped it up, as he rolled around and turned back up, the sun hit his sunglasses and there's this big like lens flare off his face like he's some sort of superstar. I didn't add that in. That was just what was on broadcast. And it was catches like that that kept getting the wins for the New Territories Tigers. There was a late flurry. Who was the late flurry by for the Islanders?
40 from Anas Khan. Yeah. Batted really well.
He batted well in the entire tournament. And that was pressure batting. The last time he had a chance to just go top up when they're already over 200. Yeah. But this time, his team were under 100 and needed to score and did, but it still wasn't enough for the powerful New Territories Tigers batters went out there and did it.
Ezaz Khan, once again, man form, 37, not out of 72. Contributions throughout that order. They fought hard. The Islanders took 6 wickets, which is not bad.
Yeah, it was a pitch that was doing enough even in the afternoon, but it just wasn't enough to defend in the end. That's what Martin said.
Ehsan Khan, 8 overs, 1 maiden, 9 runs and a wicket.
And when we get into outs and ins shortly, we're going to be talking about the Kowloon Lions who didn't make final because while they were pretty awful, they were our pick to win it all and pretty awful in the All-Stars, the players that decided that they were going to play Sunday because they had the day off, all turned up. We'll be talking about that because it's ridiculous what happened on the weekend on Sunday. So we got another big show. We'll be doing women's cricket wrap with Tammy Chu because the women's T10 final.
Yes.
Oh, you got absolutely smoked in the tips on that one.
I can't believe you picked who you picked.
I put my money on Vancey and it just didn't happen. And then I messed up with the Sunrisers. It was a disaster. We'll get to that in women's cricket wrap. We're going to do Challenge League. Yes. And we're doing 2 weeks worth of games because next week's Chinese New Year and both of us want the day off and the week off. I don't get it off, but you will get it off.
I'll get it off. You'll be working.
I will be working, as always, for the one-day international series. So we will talk a bit about that coming up, especially with Zeeshan in My Story. Plenty to get through. Shall we get on with it?
Let's go.
Giddy up.
And now it's time for outs and ins with all last week's action in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
Let's go through last weekend's games around Hong Kong, the domestic leagues. We're going to start here at Kowloon Cricket Club for Sunday Elite Division 2. It was the KCC Infidels. We weren't sure whether Atiq would play up against the Cricket Hong Kong Dragons. I asked Atiq after the Kowloon Lions finished their game and were out of the All-Stars, are you playing tomorrow? And he's like, no, no need. The team's been named. I'm not playing because, yeah, they'll be fine. Best performer with the bat, with a 61 off 65, 8 fours, 1-6, Atiq Iqbal.
I don't think he bowled in this game, and Chris Kiros hasn't run as a wicketkeeper, which can't be right because Will Walsh is also a wicketkeeper. But yeah, top scorer of the bat, Atiq Iqbal, showing another string to his bow there.
They were in a bit of trouble when he came in. He came in like number 6 or something, didn't he?
I think they were 159 for 5.
Yeah, they were struggling.
Something like that when he came in.
Dragons.
50 for Vikash Vaswani, up top of the order, 44 balls, well batted by him, a couple of 30 odds. But yeah, it was Atiq who carried them to 277 all out. 3 wickets for Thin Lake Henship, 2 for Henry Sue, and wickets apiece for the others. The Dragons got nowhere close.
No.
123 all out without Atiq bowling.
Yeah, that was they fell apart a bit there. The Dragons, there was an injured Jason Lloyd involved. Now, they lost by 154 with the ball. The Infidels did fine, though. A 4 for Samir Shahi, 4 for 17 off 6.3, and a 3 for Devang Bulsara, 3 for 15. Getting him over the line, Samir gets the player of the match because it's Cricket Heroes and the bowlers always get player of the match, except for in this next game. So we've got Atiq, who's got a 61.
That's
all
right.
The Kowloon Lions. But that is overshadowed in this game by 2 players in the Kowloon Lions. Sunday Elite Division 2 game at Mission Road, HKCC.
At HKCC.
It is, but it's...
Why did I say Mission Road on the...
It does say Mission Road.
This was at the
hill.
This was at the club.
Because there was 735 runs scored. HKCC Optimists, they won the toss, went out to bat. The cheat code was shuffled very quickly back into the side.
God, this is brutal. So it started off fairly well for the Knights. You know, they got rid of Harry Hodgson, who's coming off 200s.
We both picked the Knights.
Oh, yeah, we both picked
the Because we were expecting the Lions to perhaps make the final.
Yeah. And also, I did not expect the way the batting transpired, because Arya Panjwani came back from injury. Sitreed Wise suddenly finding rich Vena form based on what he did on Saturday, which we'll get into as well.
Yeah, we will get up to that one.
Yeah, so Sitreed Wise in rich form, 84 of 82. Arya Panjwani back in, 85 of 82. Platform was set by the top three. They were 131 for 2 in 22 overs when Sahal Mavankar walked in. He brought up his 100, and I need to dig this up because it's absolutely ridiculous, his acceleration. He brought up 100, which is, you know, as he does, off. He brought up 50 up of 58 balls. So 50 of 58 balls. 100 then came up off 77 balls.
Oh, that's a reasonable clip.
And then he was 211 of 106 balls.
199 strike rate, 18 fours, 16 sixes, 409 for 2 in 50. The Knights needed 410 to win. They gave it a good go.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Sahar's 200, the Knights would have won this.
Absolutely, because Preet Mangukya, the 14-year-old coming out of All-Stars, 100 off 105 in a team that scored 326. He got a third of the runs. He was batting up the order too.
He was batting at 4. At number 3, Kazim Iqbal of Hong Kong under 19s, 97 of 69.
So the two of them got 197. Just didn't get any support by the rest of the Knights.
Yeah, and the Optimists played their role in this. They apparently dropped 5 or 6 catches, maybe more. But 3 wickets for Saptarshi Mukherjee, 3 wickets for Dan Crowther. Held their nerve, took enough catches in the end of the day and bowled them out with 4.5 overs to spare. Mavankar, man of the match, as per usual. Big win there.
Opties get the win by 83 runs. We don't get the tip right because we both picked the Knights. We're going to have a look at the tables, which we haven't been doing because they've all been terribly wrong. And we're going to look at the Sunday Elite Division 2 because there was no Division 1 last week. At the top, I've got Hong Kong Optimist with 5 matches, 5 wins, undefeated. India Club Brahmas 4-1. The Infidels also 4-1 in 4th place. The Knights now losing that one. They've won 2, lost 3. The Dragons with just the 1 win, and the luckless Lions yet to get a win from their 6 matches.
So I believe there's one game for the Opties here that was washed out, but I can't remember who it's against. So they're not 100% the table. The table's not 100% correct, but...
Possibly they're on 11 points, not 10.
That's what they should be on, 11 points. And assuming Brahmas and Infidels are correct as well, it is a 3-horse race for the finals. really, and the winning team promotes to Division 1. So we are looking at Brahmas, Infidels, and Opties contending for that spot. The Knights, I think, with that loss, are slipping out of contention.
Yeah, so too. Yeah. The batting table for Sunday Elite Division 2. There's one man that's had three innings. He scored 402 runs at an average of 402. One Sahal Malvankar.
Strike rate 147.79. Carry on, Sahal Malvankar.
Next on is Ankur Vashishta. Four innings, 319 runs at an average of 79.75, which would be marvellous if Sahal wasn't playing in Div 2. Suleiman Nasim Butt is having a good season with the bat. Yep. 221 runs at an average of 55.25. And the opener for the Infidels, Vikash Vaswani, now up to 184 runs. He's having a good season.
Average 36.8.
What have we got in the bowling table, Nitesh?
Saptarshi Mukherjee. I rate him quite a bit of his leg spin.
He's mentioning in his name quite regularly.
Nicknamed Bitcoin, we won't go into why. 13 wickets in 5 innings for Bitcoin. Economy 5.13. Average 17.62. He bowls a good quicker ball. It's accurate, tall, leg spinner. Doesn't spin it much, but doing the job in Div 2. Samir Shahi, 10 wickets. Average of 14.8. And economy of 4.07. Doing well for the Infidels. Also for the Infidels, Mudassir Hussain, 8 wickets at 15.88. Economy 3.6. And then rounding off the top 4, Ming. Li Ka Ming from the CHK Dragons. 8 wickets for just 18.88 and 5.52. Good to have Ming Li back playing for the Dragons.
Yeah, there we go. There is the Sunday.
3 leg spinners in the top 4.
Yeah, that seems to be a pattern for the Sunday Div 2. Let's move to Saturday Division 1, the game here at KCC. The Crusaders versus Jinsung. We both went for Jinsung on this one. They've been in good form, but the Doc was playing and he didn't get any runs, but I didn't realise how strong the Crusaders side really was going to be. Young Will Walsh.
Will Walsh is stepping up this season. He's had some good performances. Another good one here. 57 opening the batting. They lost the rest of the top order cheaply, but Ahan Trivedi converting himself more into a batsman these last couple of months. He's done well again. You're 53 of 53. Nigel Shroff, Ashley Carey, the big dogs of KCC, weighing in with some useful runs. 209 for 7 and 35.
Still not a big score at KCC. Still absolutely chaseable by Jinsung. But only one person but decided to really bat, and that was Ben Zanol, who was not out batting at number 4, getting himself a half century. Where was the help?
Well, credit to Roy Lamsam, the ageless Roy Lamsam, 4 for 23 in 5.5 overs. Young Payas Dojari Seymour, 3 for 47 as well. And Matthew Chappell, we're seeing players of both ages of the age spectrum here for the Crusaders performing in the same game. We've got Will Walsh, Payas Dojari, Ahan Trivedi on one side of the spectrum. On the other hand, Matthew Chappell, Roy Lamsam, and
Who else are you going to call old?
Let's just leave
it there. Just pick a name.
Let's just leave it there.
Okay. Jinsung getting the loss there. Oh, good win for the Crusaders and food for thought for me next time the Crusaders play. Next up was Saturday Championship Div 1 game at PKVR Park. It was the very powerful IC Yotters up against the struggling USRC Tigers. We both went for India Club. Ooh, was this an upset?
No.
Absolutely not.
Niaz Ali doing Niaz Ali things. No. The Tigers opting the bat first at PKVR Park, which is not a bad decision at the toss.
How many Michelles has he got this season already, Niaz?
How many LBW? Niaz Ali doing Niaz Ali things. 5 wickets, 2 LBWs, and 3 caught behind. Shelton Jeddy Cruz, wicket-keeping of the scorecards to be believed, taking 5 wickets behind the stumps.
Oh, nice.
Hamza Javed, 36 runs of 53 balls as the Tigers only managing 78. Captain Vineet Jacob Philippos, 2 wickets. We celebrated a birthday recently. Happy birthday to Vineet if he's listening. And the Yodas, 82 for 2 and 17, made it easy. Hamad Khan, 39. Akash Yadav, 22. Mohammad Zaman taking 2 wickets and 3 overs, the captain. And then taking himself off to allow everyone to have a bowl, I presume.
Oh, lovely. Well done, Mahayam. He's a loyal listener of the podcast as well. We both got that one right. So let's have a look at the points table and, of course, these Saturday leagues. I've got to read through 453 teams to get from top to bottom. On top, undefeated with 6 wins and 1 washout, the Hong Kong Cricket Club Gap Ramblers on 13 points, well ahead of the second-placed India Club Yotters on 9 points, who should be a lot closer to the Gap Ramblers, to be honest. The games they lose, I don't know how they do. Lama.
Only 4 games. Is that correct?
No,
only played 4 so far. They're unbeaten 4-4. They're in third, despite having played half the games of the others. Nomads, Jingsun, Tartars, all 7 games apiece, all struggling in the middle with USRC Lions, Tigers, Sky Warriors. All thereabouts, all those teams. Credit to the bottom, it's Lancers, who've picked up 1 win over the Sky Warriors. and Crusaders, who've not picked up a win yet.
That's absolute rubbish.
Because we just called
it. They beat Jinsun. So our table, like usual, has nine. Fix your tables. Thank you. Anyway, we can only go on the data that we are supplied. And there's probably runs missing in this. We're going to do the Saturday Championship Div 1 table batting. Yeah.
Well, based on what's been scored, Jack Meadows in great form for the Cap Ramblers. 6 innings, 282 runs, averaging 70 with a strike rate of 100. You know, he is captain for the first time this season, I believe, and the hardest part of captaincy for him is sorting out the billing after the game. Nothing to do with the cricket. The cricket's fine for Jack Meadows. It's going well. It's an admin off the field as he's finding annoying. Akash Yadav, the recruit for IC Yodhas, 227 runs, 56.75. Good for him. Sahal's just played 3 innings, bashed 223 runs at 223. Strike rate of 163.
Stuck, right? He can't play anymore.
So done.
He's done with an average of 223, which is rubbish compared to his Sunday average. Sunday did two at 400.
And a strike rate of 163.97. Thank you very much, Malvan Kaur. I hope you don't see your name up there anymore with a few more games in. Elliot Andrews, supposedly having left Hong Kong, is somehow still in the top four run scorers.
He played the last game. Yeah,
he played five innings.
Somehow. Yeah, he got runs the game before, but just failed to fire for Jinsung. The bowling, of course, at the top with 15 wickets in five innings.
Average 7.6. Niaz Ali doing Niaz Ali thing.
Gone of 3.34. Ouch. Niaz just killing it. He's only one wicket ahead of the second place, though. Mohammad Yasin from Charlie Bears. Charlie Bears are, like, way down the bottom.
But they've got two bowlers in the top four. Abdul Arslan as well, with 11 wickets. So Yasin and Arslan, number 2 and 3. Harris Mohammed of Sky Warriors, having a good season with the ball this year. Bowling well for the Knights as well.
We're roughly halfway through the season, and we've got the top four all in double figures for wickets. So that's good for the... What were we in Saturday Championship Div 1? Let's have a look at Div 2. The Witherers versus the Thunder. We both went for the Witherers, and it was a good choice.
It was a good choice because Siegfried Y played the innings of his life. He went on to open the batting. He smacked 175 of just 94 balls, very similar to Sahal's 200. He got to his 100 at sedate pace, 70, 80 balls, batted well, suddenly kicked into another gear. He got out with 16 balls left in innings. He could have got 200.
And
he's looking. I don't know.
Silly Siggy.
And if Siggy's listening, I don't know if he's ever going to get that close to 200 again. I hope he does. I hope he does.
Who's Max Robel?
Max Robel's one of the club members who doesn't normally bat at number four, but at two wickets down early, Captain Jake McCauley hit himself down the order a little bit. A strategic move, he says, to promote Robel up and get the best out of his middle order player. Of 62. Very good innings, Max Robel as well.
Fabulous effort. In reply, the Thunder trying to need 292 in 35. Didn't do too badly, but didn't get there in the end. All out for 216 in 33rd over. 64 for Kasim Iqbal. Very nice. 64 off 39.
Yeah, batted really well, guys. Had a good weekend the Saturday and the Sunday, as a Sikpi Y. And 5 wickets with Tabish Dhar. Bowling accurate, stump to stump, medium pace. Copped a bit of stick, but you know, he got his 5 for well bowled with Tabish. And well done to the Withers. They remain unbeaten.
We got that tip right. Now, this is a tip that is unfair because you only changed it because you went, we need a point of difference. You didn't pick the Punjab line.
I did pick them.
You didn't. You picked the strikers and then changed
my reasonings are irrelevant to who I picked. I did pick Punjab lines.
Well, the strikers should have won this. I don't know what the Punjab Lions did and what the strikers did. Strikers all out for 196 at GDB and 33.5. Punjab Lions... Well, they chased it down with, what, 2.5 overs to spare.
And plenty of wickets to spare. The strikers were 24 for 4 in 9.3 overs.
Amit Nawa got a 93. How did they lose this?
He batted so well they dig them out of a hole. Next highest for the strikers was 29 from Harpinder, then 19 from Kirti. So they batted, Amit Nawa carried them with the bat and then even got early wickets. They were 14 for 2 of the Punjab Lions and 52 for 3, 123 for 4. It's just Hamad Hussain, Akil Muhammad, Yogesh Sate. They just smacked it around and got them there easy. Made it look easy. Yeah, it's a bit of a... I think the strikers will be looking back thinking, how did they lose this? But Punjab Lions have the experience of playing Div 1 cricket. Are charging on the way back.
Did you have the full scorecard up there?
Because yeah, I did.
I'm trying to figure out what Akil Muhammad did to get player of the match. He didn't get the best performance with the bat and he didn't get the best performance with bowl. But
yeah, so he scored 44, I want to say. Hold on. 44 of 35 balls.
Nice.
And he bowled 7 overs, 2 maidens, 2 for 42.
Okay, so he was just off the cusp of the best performance because we only get the top three. We did say that neither of the teams had really played anyone up the top, so it was hard to gauge. It was a close one. You get the tip over me, but we'll go on to the next one. Oh. We didn't get this one right. India Club All-Stars with our Sachin Bumrah Mittal in the side up against the luckless Kaitak. India Club All-Stars bowled out for 281. Big score. It is Cam 10, and they didn't bat their full 35, which I wish they probably did. In reply, what did Kaitak do, Natasha?
This was a great game. It was HKU's John Wright who was umpiring this game. To give you context, India Club All-Stars 281 all-out, 117 for Samay Sehal. Kaitak basically winless the season and have been struggling for form. They beat the Saracens, but they almost did not beat the Saracens.
That was DLS, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's the only way they could win.
But they've been struggling this season, especially with their batting. So when you're looking at 281 for a Kaitak batting lineup, that's going to be tough. But Ehtisham Hafeez, great guy, wonderful talent, has been lean form of the bat this season at all clicked for him. 117 of 64 balls, absolutely smoked it.
Matthew Jones got a 55. Now, Matthew Jones is the
yes.
one that got them the winner
yes.
at the Saracens. The guy had never scored any runs.
Yes.
He had like a higher score of 11 before he played the Saracens. Got a 47 or something that day.
Yes.
And now he goes a 55.
Batting at 6, he sent him up the order, Matthew Jones, and he got it off 30 balls.
Kaitak must have won this off the last ball.
So I'll read to you what I've got here from the umpire, John Wright. 2 balls left, 3-2 wins. Jones, who has been in for a while, hits a single straight to point. Point, a teenager, decides to bullet arm his throw. It's off target and Kaitak scampers second. Leaves Jones facing the last ball with 1 to win. And the non-striker, who does not look like he can hold a bat, who doesn't have to score 2 of the last ball. So just a little fine margins there for the India Club All-Stars. And Matthew Jones carves 4 of a point to win the game of the last ball. Absolute thriller.
Oh, okay. So they were tied on the last ball.
Yes, and Matthew Jones gets it. And again, it's a field that collected cleanly. It would have been the tail end at strike or 2 to win. They might have won by 1 run, though.
Well, the India Club coaches of Ankur and Niaz and Imran are going to have a little chat to that youngster and say, hey, maybe let's just dial that down next time. Player of the match for Kaitak, Ehtisham Hafeez with his 117.
He also took 1 wicket. Well done, Ehtisham.
We both got that tip wrong. Let's have a look at the table for what division are we in?
Division 2
Saturday.
Division
2 Saturday. Top of the table, another Hong Kong Cricket Club.
Witherers.
Witherers 5 and zip. Laguna Gully played 7. They're 5 and 2.
Good this season.
So there's 4 teams on 10 points, but the Witherers have only played the 5. Laguna with a 5 and 2 are on 10 points. The Punjab Lions, 6 games, 5 and 1, 10 yeah. points. And 4, the Pack Rising Falling Championship Stars, 5 and 2 as well.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the race for the spot in the finals and the promotion. Strikers not completely out of it yet. They're 4 and 2 with 1 no results, so just 1 point behind, still in contention. After that, you've got the middle of the table, who I don't think anyone's really in contention. But no relegation, there's nothing at stake at the bottom either, but just probably worth noting that the Saracens are dead last.
We didn't need to know that. We all know that. Hung Seah won ahead of them because they've had a win and a washout, whereas the Saracens have had just the solitary win.
Yep.
Centaurs with 2 wins now, still languishing down in 9th. Let's have a look at the batting table for Saturday Championship Div 2. No surprises at the top. The youngster Hafeez Khan from Pac Championship, 7 innings, 346 runs and an average of 86.5.
Siegfried Wise, Mammoth 175, has leapfrogged him into second place on this table. Strike rate 138, average 64. Just 25 runs behind Hafeez now. Siegfried's 2 innings in hand, so he's in there with a good shot, Siggy, to have a big season. Samay Sehal up there in third, 5 innings, 291 runs, 58.2 average, 192 strike rate. That's what you get when you play at Compton a lot. And then Andrew Lloyd, who may not be playing much for the Brothers anymore.
He told me he's done.
Yeah.
Too busy as assistant coach for Hong Kong China, so he's going to be stuck on an average of 115.
It takes a Sahal, that's probably the last we'll see of him on this run scoring chart. In 2 weeks' time, he may drop off it. 3 innings, strike rate 160.
Lloyd, bowling, we've got at the top, Amit Nawar from the Aspa Little Saiwan Strikers. He's got 15 wickets in his 6 games at an average of 10. Econ 3.99.
And he scored a 93. What a season he's having, Amit Nawar.
Well, what about the bloke that's second for the bowling?
Hafeez Khan.
He's not only doing it with the bat, he's second on. He's got 15 wickets as well.
Yeah, 7 innings, 15 wickets. Econ 4.7, average 10 as well. Tadan Ranasinghe, HKU's own quality off-spinner, continues to remain top of the charts. They have 14 wickets in third place with innings in hand, 6 innings, average 14.71. Hope, as long as we take our catches, Tadan will stay up there in the wicket-taking charts.
And in fourth, my man to take, I reckon, is going to take the bowling this year. Sachin Kumar Mittal. He's only played 5 games.
Yeah, that's true. 13 wickets.
13 wickets. He's only 2 behind the leaders. He's got 2 games in hand. He's got an average of 11. He's econ of a little bit more than the rest, 6.76. But he's getting wickets.
And occasionally they get wins.
And if I may be cheeky enough to claim Sachin as another one of HKU's own, because we hopefully we'll get him back playing for us some season.
No. Well, once the credit card runs out at India Club, everyone will be back. Don't worry about it. So you can get him back then. I didn't do a tally of what the scores were tipping, but I know you beat me. I think by one.
By one.
Yeah. So at the end of last weekend's games, the guest, which is you, is on 55. And I'm on 65. So we're back to 10 points.
Yeah, narrowing that. At this rate, I'll dick over in one season's time.
Excellent news. There it is. Outs and ins for this week.
Ins and outs next. All the upcoming action in cricket in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
Johnny's New Year coming up next week, so we're going to do 2 weeks' worth of previews. Natasha, let's start with Sunday Elite Division 1 at Tin Kwong Road Recreation Ground. The Diaspora Little Saiwan Tony Turners up against the USRC Vagabonds this Sunday.
I think the Tony Turners have got this. You know, fate intervened to keep them in Div 1, and now they've got Heather Ali, they've got Sharia Khan, they've got Ehsan Khan. They're set. I think they're going to win. I mean, yeah, they should have the national players this Sunday, right? The national players are playing this Sunday.
That's a very, very good question. I don't know the answer to it.
If they're not, this game will get interesting. But I think they should be okay. Surely they're okay.
Would you risk them when you've got a Tri Nations game on the 28th? Would
can the con does the national contract prevent them from playing 2 days?
It wouldn't. I don't know, but there's definitely been times before where they've not played if they're going to fly out the day after or something. So I don't know. I can't answer that. That's probably something the podcast should be able to answer. We'll find out in 2 weeks' time when we see if Tony Turner's good over the Vagabonds. I'm going with the Tony Turners as well.
Okay.
But yeah, that's very risky because the Vagabonds have no national players.
I think they might not. There's nobody. Yeah, no
one. It'd be a chance for the Vagabonds to get a win.
Shahad's in USRC Elite, right?
He should be, yeah.
So if he's in the squad, then he would be USRC Elite with the ones affected, not the Tony Turner.
Yeah, absolutely. USRC Elite, speaking of the devil,
yes.
At HKCC against the Scorps.
Oh, Scorpions, easy.
I can't disagree with you.
No analysis needed. And that's not being harsh, USRC Elite. It's just the Scorpions are a very, very good team.
They are. They've
already dusted them once this season, I believe.
Yeah. I think they're the stronger of the two still, even though they shuffled up the teams.
Yes, surprisingly so, yes.
Okay, let's move to Saturday Championship Div 1. TK Tin Kwong Road Recreation Ground on Saturday the 25th. USRC Tigers versus Lama Cricket Club.
Lama. USRC Tigers are mid-table in Sat Div 1 after promotion, which is pretty good for a team that's just promoted, but Lama are contending for the title.
Lama are. I mean, if our table's correct, if it's wrong, but as far as we're saying, Lama hasn't lost a game yet.
So Lama.
Yeah, can't go against Lama there. This one's going to be a good one. KCC,
yes.
It's the KCC Crusaders sitting in basically last, uncharacteristic for the Crusaders. They don't want to be in relegation issues. Up against the Diaspora Little Saiwan Sky Warriors, who have been yo-yoing on me all season.
Exactly. The Sky Warriors have been unpredictable. It's very much Munir Dar, Ares Dar, or bust by the looks of things with the Sky Warriors. Whereas for the Crusaders, they did pull one out against Jing Sun last week, and I think they might just be in the team together. Who are you going for?
I am back on the Crusaders train. I think the team that they've put together now, first half of the season, they could barely get a team together.
Yeah.
Now they're getting much more set. Tommy Heisinger's back. Ash Caddy's back bowling. I think they've got a good, well-rounded team. What do you think?
I agree with you, but also at the same time, it's hard to look past Sky Warriors. They're pretty good. They just find ways to stay up in Div 1. Tough one. You're going Crusaders, I'll go Sky Warriors. Let's have a point of difference here. It's a tough game to call.
I'd already typed that in because I knew you were going to get your point of difference. HKCC Gap Ramblers top of the table, aren't they?
Yes.
Against the USRC Lions. It's
Gap Ramblers.
Going to be tough at Hong Kong Cricket Club for the Lions that day.
Yep.
Out of GDB in Saturday Championship Div 2, the only Div 2 game on Saturday. It's Punjab Lions versus the Centaurs. Punjab Lions showing what they're made of.
Yeah.
Centaurs really showing what they're made of.
Centaurs have just got the win that we've been predicting them to get all season. Yeah. And I think that's enough for me. I'm going Punjab Lions.
I'm also going Punjab Lions for two reasons. I think they're going to win. And if not, it just will prove the Bushy curse. Tipping against the Centaurs works because the last time I did, they got the win. So they'll be happy that I haven't picked them this week. We're going to have a look at next week's games as well, and we're going to start at Sunday Elite Division 1 Hong Kong Cricket Club on February 2nd.
Yes.
I will be calling an international game at Mission Road that day, so I won't be paying much attention. It's going to be an absolute cracker, though, minus all the Hong Kong players.
And both teams, I think, will be equally affected by this. PACC
Scorpions versus PACC Elite. Let's see if we can run through. Who's the Scorps going to miss?
I think Ayush is still in the Scorps.
Adil? Or is he?
No, Adil's in the Wanderers.
Okay.
Kinshasa's still in the Scorps. Who else is in the Scorps? Should we just open the Scorps? What's up?
Well, I'll run through who PACC are going to be missing.
Yasim.
Zeeshan. Nasrullah. Gaz probably in the...
Ooh, is he?
I don't know who's in the lineup, but I'm just saying if he's in the 14... Do we have the 14? We don't have it yet.
So it's an 18 from what I've heard. It's not even a 14. They've kept an extended squad.
So like if they're going that big, you'd expect... We might put Gaz in there. With the spinners, you've got Essan, you've got Yasim. You don't have a dedicated loopy. Here's a chance. So I think Pak's going to be worse.
Yeah, because Scorpions will be missing Anshuman.
Yeah, that's big.
Ayush.
That's big.
There's no one else who's a big Shiv, of course. But Shiv could play both Scorps and Wanderers still, so...
Well, he won't be playing either.
Yeah.
Because we know he's not going to Malaysia in the under-19s because he's obviously picked to play for the Hong Kong Charter side.
So Scorps actually won't be missing that many, and the Scorps will have the advantage of calling upon the cheat code.
Yeah.
So I'm going to score Scorps with this.
Yeah, me too. And it's rare that I tip against Pak Elite, but I just feel like they're going to be a little bit down.
Yeah.
With international duties. KCC, Sunday Elite Division 1, Templars versus USRC Elite.
So, yeah, USRC might only be missing Shahid if he's in the extended squad as a backup keeper.
Yes.
KCC will be missing Baba.
We're missing
Thumb. Is Dan in the setup anymore?
No, he didn't. Wasn't available for All-Star, so I don't think that's...
Atik?
No,
he's Infidels, sorry.
Infidels.
So Templars, oh, he misses
just the two,
perhaps.
And maybe Shahid missing. I mean, they're going to have to find, unless Shiv's going to keep internationals.
That's something Shiv's probably in the framework of Zeeshan, also still injured. Templars?
Yeah, Templars at home. You can't go past them, really, can you?
Yeah.
They're trying hard, the USRC Elite, but they're not quite to Templars level, I don't think. This will be a good game out at PKVR Park on Sunday, Division 2, the Dragons versus the Knights.
I'm going for the Knights because I do think they're a better team than their performances I've shown so far. I saw them play against the
They scored 326 against the Opties at home. So
if there was no Sahal, they would have won that game.
Exactly.
So I'm going to Knights.
Not cheat code, just cheats. I'm Hong Kong Cricket Club. humbug. HKCC Witherers versus your beloved HKU.
I tell you what, I know the Witherers playing 11. I have an idea on the HKU playing 11. I'm going to pick HKU. I'm going to back us. I'm going to back us to top off the table topper. I know Jake McCauley listens to this and he's not going to like that.
He's not.
Especially if we pull it off, but eggs in my basket. I'm going to back my boys. I think we're going to get it done.
Well, I don't think you're going to get it done. I'm going for the Witherers. Thunder. Oh, this is in-house derby at GDB. Diasqua Little Siwon Thunder against the Diasqua Little Siwon Strikers.
I think the Strikers are the better outfit than the Thunder. Having played both of them,
yeah,
I mean, think the Strikers are better.
But the Strikers have been letting me down.
Who are you going for, Strikers?
I'm going for the Strikers.
Yeah, but they've been letting you down.
They have been letting me down. This should be fun. Final game next weekend, not this weekend. Remember, we're previewing through Chinese New Year on Saturday, the 1st of February at KCC. PACC Championship versus the Kowloon Cricket Club Saracens.
Yeah. This is one of the things the Wasp would put in as like 1%. Maybe if that's being generous.
Hafiz Khan might make 335 overs in this game. Yes, Pak Championship are going to win that very, very easily. So we've got a couple of points of difference as you try to peg back that 10-point gap. So many games. And don't forget, not only are all these games on for the next 2 weeks, we've also got the International One-Day Series, Hong Kong, Bahrain and Uganda. And then we go straight into the ICC Challenge League, which we'll be talking about trying to find a place to do a podcast in the middle of that broadcast coming up in 2 weeks' time. We'll see if we can do it. But they're the games around for the next 2 weeks. If you're floating around, make sure you check it out. Go down to the grounds and a few of those will be broadcast, including One big game this Sunday from KCC, the pinnacle of Bushy's commentary year. As always, one of the under-15s games. I'm commentating the KCC Typhoons versus the D'Asqua Little Siwon Tigers. It's going to be massive. It starts at 1 p.m. They're going to be playing on turf for the kids as well. Do they get a full broadcast from KCC YouTube, they also get to play on turf. It's going to be fabulous. Tune into that from 1 p.m. on Sunday. That's it for Ins and Outs.
And now it's time for My Story, where the superstars of cricket come in and tell us their story.
Yes, it's My Story time as we lead into the Tri Nations One Day Series and then the big ICC Challenge League, ICC Round B or whatever it is coming up.
Yep.
So we've got in one of the best just to give us some tips and find out all about his backstory. Who we got, Nitesh?
We've got Hong Kong's premier wicketkeeper batsman, Zeeshan Ali. Zeeshan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Zeeshan, on My Story, we generally want to start off with how do people get into cricket and how do they come into the Hong Kong national team. So let's start with you right at the beginning. You've been playing cricket a long time. When did it start? When did you first start playing cricket?
Actually, in Pakistan, we start to play in street cricket and like in school. So I started play street cricket in Pakistan.
How old were you?
I was like 12 or 13 years old. And I started with a softball. Yeah. So
that's rather a young age.
Actually, it's a bit late, 12, 13, because you see...
Yeah, I started very late because I don't like cricket before.
That's a fair enough reason for it.
Even my father, he used to play cricket.
And okay. Yeah. So you're as a primary school kid and your dad's like, are you going to play cricket? And you're like... No,
he didn't. He never asked me.
Okay, fair enough.
So you just figured out yourself that you wanted to start playing.
No, actually, later on when I started playing in the streets, so then I went with him for the games and there were uncle. He was really old and he was just ball off spin in the games, like 2 overs, 3 overs.
Like Sharif Vasha.
Yeah. And He couldn't do anything over there, so he just bowled me a few full toss or gave me some throw down, and then like my interest are getting more.
So where in Pakistan was this?
Lahore.
Okay, so you grew up in Lahore.
Yeah, I born in Lahore and I grew up in Lahore.
And so you started playing as a kid through street cricket.
Yeah.
Was it obvious from a young age that you were a good player? Were you always the best player in your team, or was it something that came with the more you played?
So before, when you are playing in the streets, everyone is a good player over there because no one says like I'm a bad player or something like that. So everyone is a good player over there. So I recognized myself when I was in school. Mm-hmm. So it was a tournament in the school, and I just participated into that tournament. It was a table tournament, and I played really well in that tournament, and after that, like everyone knows, and then I feel it. Oh, I can do this.
Okay, and were you always a wicketkeeper, or were you?
No. I was a leg spinner before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thing with wicketkeepers, because you only have one in the team. At what point, like, you're still playing table cricket? So when you transition to hardball, do you start as a wicketkeeper, or is it something you picked up?
No, this is a story I want to tell you. So I was a leg spinner, and there was only one wicketkeeper in our team, right? Mm-hmm. So he was working somewhere, and sometimes he couldn't come to the games. And once our coach, he said like, "Who wants to kick?" So I was a batter fielder, and I just raised my hand. I said, "Yeah, I will do it." And I just did it. So I couldn't cap the ball like proper how wicketkeeper cap, but I just dived the ball and stopped the ball, and he said like, "You can do it."
How old were you when this happened?
At that time I was 17.
Oh wow, so you only started wicketkeeping?
Yeah, I was a left spinner before.
Oh wow, the way to 17.
Yeah.
That's pretty late to get into
wicketkeeping. Yeah.
And so when you've made your first class debut, obviously through the system, you made it as a wicketkeeper. So
Even I played under 19 as a wicketkeeper.
I'm just looking at your first class debut, which was when you were 20.
Yeah.
For Pat Customs, it looks like.
Yeah.
That was only 3 years after you first put on the gloves, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And after under 19, like when I was under 19, I used to play as a wicketkeeper batsman.
Very good. So you had this natural talent clearly as a keeper batsman. I see your first class debut. You played with like Ramiz Raja as well. Sahur Elahi. That's still some great. And Yasir Hamid, Sarfraz Ahmed. So
out LBW for one.
It's my debut, right? Yep. 0-1. I should remember.
Well, you can't go backwards from there. You can only go up. Glass half full. You start at 0-1, and then you start scoring seven.
So the first game, both inning, I got 0-1, and next inning, I scored 50 runs.
Oh wow! So there you go. So you got into first class quite young at 20. Were your family supportive of you pursuing a career?
No, actually, my dad, he wants to me play, but my mom, like, she doesn't know about anything about cricket. And she always said, like, better you do something else. What is this? Cricket is nothing. She doesn't know. That's why she said it's just a waste of time. She said, like, your dad wastes his half life.
So what did she want you to do?
She wants me to, like, she wants me to, like, well-educated and try to be, like, doctor or whatever. Like, parents always...
They take every single mum in Asia. You're a doctor or you're a lawyer or you're...
And I want to tell you, like, when I selected in under-19 and I was away from the home, it was a one-month camp away from our place. So, so I went there and my mom, she was... super angry with my dad. She said, like, I don't know what is he doing there, blah, blah, blah. These guys. And my dad even tell her, like, there is so many people, take care of them. He's not alone over there. There are 20 people, this and that. She didn't accept that thing. Oh, wow. And she told me, just left it and go to university or college. I don't want you to do these kind of things.
So if against your mother's will, you went into first class cricket. Did you end up going doing university?
So when I played under 19, so I earned, like, in under 19, I started play professionally. So it was my first professional domestic tournament which I played. So I played under 19 and I get some money, and when I gave to her, and she said, like, how did you earn this kind of money in just 1 month? Because that tournament is for 1 month, 1.5 months. So she told me, like, how did you earn this money? It's not easy to earn. How did you earn?
So that
then my dad explained her, like, if he plays for Pakistan or something like that, then he can earn more. And
so that convinced her that there's a future in this, that you can actually make a career.
Yeah, she still didn't happy. She said, no, I don't want.
But you went on to play first class cricket anyways. As you talk about your debut, you got better at first class cricket. How was it like playing first class cricket in Pakistan? Did you settle in right away?
No, to be honest, like, I am thinking, like, I played too early. So it was I wasn't much experienced at the time, because in first class you are playing against, like, much, much experienced players. So I just played in 19. So after, in Pakistan, there is a 3 tournament. Like, after under 19, you go to there is a grade 2 tournament we call grade 2. It's a 3-day games.
Okay.
So I never experienced that 3-day games. Oh. So I played only 2-3 games before my first class debut. So I never had an experience about that kind of cricket. So I played first class because they selected me from the under 19.
I see. So you were quick. You were quickly transitioned to first class. You were scouted out from under-19s. So you must have found it quite challenging then.
Yeah, I just learned the things when I was in the ground, like when I'm playing. Like, you just mentioned the names. How, like?
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you one thing happened with me. So I was batting and there was a Kashif Raza. He's a very good domestic bowler. He took, like, maybe over 400 wickets in domestic. So he was bowling and I was batting. So he bowled me and I just drive a ball and I, like, it's hit a boundary. Like, I just drive the ball and goes forward. And then he took the fielder for the mid-off to the gully. And he bowled me a bit away. I just run a play drive. And then I just run a play drive and I missed 3 balls. And he comes to me and he said, "You don't understand what he trying to do." I said, "No." He said, he was laughing at me. He said, like, "Why this fielder was there before and why is over here now?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Because you love to drive the ball and he wants to drive the ball. That's why he bowled full, and after that, he bowled you on a length. So you just rang a drive because you doesn't know like
setting
he,
your
yeah. So you don't know like what he wanna do. So that's how I learned the things.
The hard way. You had to learn the hard way first class cricket. How many years did you end up playing first class cricket for?
I played 7-8 seasons, like around 10. You can say like around 7 years.
7 years first class cricket.
So my debut was 2008. And last game I played at, 2015 or 16.
Yeah. Let's say 2014. Yeah. So you had a decent run in first class cricket, 2014. What did you do? Because obviously you came to Hong Kong maybe like 5 years ago. So after you finished your career in domestic cricket, were you still playing cricket in Pakistan?
When I came here in Hong Kong, so I used to play the Grade 2 tournament, what I told you before. Because
what year was that when you moved to Hong Kong?
One of my friends, you might don't know him, but he knows Ishtiaq, right?
Yes, Ishtiaq.
Yeah, he used to play for club cricket with me in Pakistan, yeah. So he told me in 2012, he said, Hong Kong is like this, Hong Kong is like this. I said, okay, fine. But at the time, like when you are playing cricket in that structure, so you don't think about the other things, right? So at the time, like as a cricketer, I was thinking like maybe I will perform well and I can play for Pakistan or Pakistan A or something like that. So it was that thing is in my mind at the time. So I don't know about the Hong Kong or whatever. And then he told me like Hong Kong has a ODI status. They present in the World Cup. Blah blah blah. I said okay, fine. And then like whenever he came back to Pakistan, he talks these kind of things, but I didn't understand at that time. Yeah, because your mindset is over there.
Yeah.
And then then it's 2015. He talked me again, and he said like we need a wicketkeeper over there and this and that. And I said okay. He said like just give a try. If you like it, then you will stay there. If you don't like it, then you can leave. I said okay, fine. So I gave him my like old profile or document, something like that, and he submitted in the club. And
this is for PACC.
Yeah, PACC.
Straight in.
Yeah, and then he they submit my documents, and after that, you know Mohammad Asif.
Yeah.
He's playing in my club.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's supposed to go to the wedding of the Tanvir Afzal.
Oh really?
Yeah. So this is actually a main thing how I came here, and he asked him like, and I asked him like, where are you going? And we were playing the game, and during the game he said I want to go to the wedding somewhere. I said where? He said Rawalpindi. I said who? He said like Tanvir Afzal. He's a Hong Kong captain. He used to play with me in UK. I said okay. I said like, I know him because Ishtiaq told me everything. I said like, yeah, I gave my document to them in the club. He said for what? I said like, they need a wicketkeeper, so I gave the documents, blah blah blah. And he said okay, and he called him right away in front of me, and he talks to Tanvir, and he said like, oh, do you know this guy? Tanvir said because he was Tanvir was in national team captain at the time. And he was playing cricket, and he said, I heard some guy gave us documents for the visa or something like that. He said, like, he's our captain. He's our club captain and blah, blah, I'm playing under him. Like, he's a very funny guy. He just explained like this.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a best bowler. So he just explained him like this. And then we said, so after wedding, I will go back to the Hong Kong and I will see his documents. And then he gave my number or email, and then I contacted with Tanvir then.
So Mohammad Asif was involved in making a connection here.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I can imagine Mohammad Asif and Tanvir Afzal as well. Do very similar bowlers.
Yeah. They used to play in UK.
Brilliant. So that's sort of how you got involved in Hong Kong cricket. What year did you come to Hong Kong?
2017.
So pretty shortly after you stopped playing first class cricket, you came across to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You're still quite young.
Yeah.
So you came here with the intention of playing for the Hong Kong.
So to be honest, when I came here, I just came here and I see like, okay, let's go there and see if the environment, if the cricket is okay, then I will play or something like that. But when I came here, I saw like, at the time, Hong Kong has a ODI status, yeah. And cricket was like pretty fine. So I said like, okay, if I, why shouldn't I try here?
So you came in for both of like a playing and a coaching role as well.
Yeah.
Is coaching something also you've always wanted to do? Have you been thinking about that back of
your
mind?
To be honest, like coaching is not my first priority because I'm young, I want to play. So like I'm a passionate player, so I always want to play.
Playing first.
Yeah. But I was in UK and one of my very good friend, he asked me to do a coaching course and I said like, no way, I'm a player, I don't want to coach. He said like, it's help you in your future or something like that. I said, no, I'm not gonna coach or something like that. He said, bro, you just do it and you will remember me, okay? I said, okay, fine.
Now he's being, mention the name so he can be on the podcast. Who talked you into coaching?
His name is Asif Ishwaq.
Well done.
He forced me to do that and then...
That helped?
Yeah, it helped, yeah.
Definitely helps you get the visa, especially.
Yeah.
So you come into Hong Kong around 2017. So that means by the time you qualify, we're in the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
In the lockdown.
Good timing.
Yeah. No, actually, I qualified and then it was COVID, so...
Nothing happened. That's not the first person.
Yasim had a similar story.
Me and Yasim, I arrived 4 or 5 months before Yasim.
Yeah, that's what it's
similar. Tanvi was involved in that as well.
Exactly, Tanvi also as well.
He's the nucleus around all our current players. Well, we're going to get on to current because, I mean, we can skip 20 to 2022 because nothing happened except for everyone got fat.
Yeah.
And then you get the call up. Scott McKechnie's fly in, fly out keeper at the time, so looking for a permanent local keeper. You've been performing for PACC. Were you excited to, like, because you didn't quite make it to the Pakistan setup, so you finally get to play international cricket?
Yeah, it's always a... and player, like you are playing and you are representing any other nation or any other better team which is competing with the good teams. So I'm happy and I'm feeling proud, like even if I didn't play over there, so at least I'm playing here.
It's true. So you made your debut in for the Hong Kong team. I don't have your list day debut here, but your T20I debut was around 2022, so around the similar time.
Yeah.
At that point, you've taken on many roles. You've gone through the middle order, you've gone through the top order. Obviously, they've not asked you to bowl a leg spin yet, but nice to know you have that up your sleeve. Where do you see yourself in the team? Do you prefer being a top order batsman or do you prefer coming late in the innings?
Actually, when you are when you join a setup, so you cannot do what you want, actually, because the things are working as a team. Mm-hmm. So at that time, setup like this. So obviously, I played as a top order batsman in my club and in the domestic league also. So in the shorter format, but in the longer format, like even in my first class career, I bat number 1 to number 8.
Wow! You bat everywhere.
Everywhere. Like whenever they think, oh, like it's a crucial time or something like that. Oh. He can bat better. So they just give me a...
You look at just back in Uganda for the first round of the ICC Challenge League, but you both batted at 1 and 7.
Yeah.
So you're that flexible for Simon to flick you around deciding on what team you're playing.
Yeah, to be honest, like if you are a professional player and if you are a team man, so these kind of things doesn't matter. So you need you what you want. You want you to win your team. So you are playing. If you are playing for your team, so you can adjust these kind of things.
That's true. That's a good mindset to have. And it's good to have batsmen who are flexible, willing to move up and down and take on different roles. Do you prefer playing in sort of like a finisher role, or do you like the challenge of setting up innings?
Like what they give me a role now. So in a shorter format, I'm gonna. Like on a top order,
okay,
and on the longer tournament, so I'm gonna they give me a finisher role. So I'm trying my best to do the best thing.
It's tricky as well with the wicket keeping as well.
Yeah,
of course, fitness is a big concern as well.
Yeah,
we talked to Yasim last week about how his fitness has gotten better, and actually for most of the national teams, do you see that difference as well coming into Hong Kong setup now for the last few years, that the fitness standards are getting better and you feel you're more challenged?
To be honest, like when I wasn't in the in the Hong Kong team. So, like, my fitness not like this, because sometimes you're lazy, or sometimes you are not doing the things you need to do. But when I came into the team, then we are like doing regularly. So obviously, like, our fitness is way better than before.
That's good.
Yeah.
So would you say you're fitter now than you've ever been?
Not ever been. Like, when I was in Pakistan, I was more fitter.
All of 19.
You know, like in Pakistan, we don't have any day off, and we used to play like 4 games in a week.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and sometimes you play 20 games in a day.
So that's brutal. That's tough.
Yeah, and. So if you are playing consecutively 4 days, if you are fit, then you are playing. Otherwise, you can't, right?
True. You can't. Speaking of fitness, we do notice your left hand is a bit bandaged up here.
Yeah. That was from the All-Stars. I was calling that one, and we were talked about the games a bit earlier on in the podcast. How is the thumb? It's very important. We have some Tri Nations one-day series and the ICC Challenge League B coming up.
Yeah.
You gonna be fit?
Yeah, I will be definitely. It's not a major injury, so good news is it's not fracture. It's just a
I'm rather glad it's not, because you went out to bat. I'm guessing against a lot of people's advice. You went out to bat in the All Stars anyway.
Yeah. So few of my friends, like, who is playing with us or playing against us, they don't want me to bat. But at the time, I was feeling better, so that's why I did.
It didn't feel so bad then with the adrenaline and on the ground, but I guess afterwards.
I think he was having FOMO. Everyone else was going out to bat, and Zeeshan was stuck in this physio tent getting his thumb worked out. He's like, I'm good to go. I'm going out to bat. Well, it's good. I'm glad that that's going to be fine, because what is it today? The 23rd, as we're recording at KCC. And the first game in the Tri Nations one-day series is 28th, 5 days away. So you'll have the cast off by then. You're positive you're going to be there playing, I think it's Bahrain, is it first? The news only got dropped today, so the press release is out. We're all going to go check. Whoever you're playing on the 28th, you'll be ready to go?
Yeah, I will be. Let's see, like, if I feel 100% fit, then I will play.
Okay, and it is against Bahrain. You just had the Bahrain captain playing in the All-Stars with you. Do you know if he was playing?
Where? No.
For Bahrain, or is he?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, that could be a scoop for the podcast. Maybe he's going to... So do you feel like he's looking at doing the same thing as you and moving to Hong Kong in the setup? And
of course, if he left from there, then he has clear plans, because he's not here for the fun or something like that. What I feel it. I didn't talk to him, but I feel like this.
Yeah, if he's come all the way here.
Yeah.
Playing for delivery.
Yeah. If you left something, so definitely you are here for something good.
That's exciting. But after we've got the Tri Nations, so it's Uganda and Bahrain, you get Chinese New Year off. Well done, Hong Kong China team. They're not playing on the 31st.
They're not playing on the 31st.
Exactly. They get a nice little 4-day break over Chinese New Year while I have to go up the hill to your joint, Tesh, and commentate Uganda, Bahrain.
Okay.
And then we've got the big 1-2-3, depending on if Hong Kong China makes the finals. They'll play on the Saturday and the Sunday. And then there's a game against Hong Kong A on the Monday. Yeah. And then we're straight into ICC Challenge League. How was it? Tell us how it was for the team and yourself personally when you did that first round in Uganda.
I think we didn't perform like we are a team. Like, I think we can perform better than our last performance. So now we learn from our mistakes, and boys are so positive, and there is too many good things in the camp now. So we are looking forward for this tournament.
I kind of felt that as well watching it online, but we did a lot better than, like, in the table and the stats and the points than it felt like watching it online. It felt like it was a bit nervy and wobbly for the team in the setup. Different setup. Different captain going into the second. You've got Yasim as captain. How are you finding your PATC teammate as captain?
So I believe sometime there is people came with luck. So under Nazakat, I guess we are so unlucky. Like in Malaysia, we lost a tournament just because of rain.
Yeah,
not the first time. Even we played really well. Okay, so before that in Nepal, we lost a tournament just because of rain. Yep. So there is two, three main tournaments we just left because of the rain. And yes, and everyone has a different attitude, different things in his mind. So I think we are really positive. Like and Yasin, like he's a more experienced person in our camp, I guess. And he's a very calm, and he has more experience than us. So I believe like we will do better in his under captaincy.
Who do you think is the big danger in that second round of the Challenge League Group B? Uganda, Italy, Bahrain as a roughie? Who do you think you're going to come up and go, okay, this is the game we have to win?
Look, it's cricket, right? You can't say anything. Like everyone is playing. It depends on a day. If someone played well, so they can beat you. But it's a longer format of the cricket, so you have chance to catch up the things. So we are playing in our home, so I think we have advantage. We know the things, so I believe like we will play better. But they are also like working on these kind of things. So it depends on the day. But I guess Uganda is better than Bahrain.
Okay,
but we need to beat everyone.
So the first game on the 6th is Hong Kong, China versus Singapore at Mission Road. I'll be calling that one. Singapore. Your second game is on the 9th against Bahrain. I'll be calling that one. The 12th on Wednesday after a rest day, you've got Tanzania at Mission Road. I'll be calling that one. On the 13th, you got to...
So you just let us know which are you not calling.
Well, I just want to point out the fact that... okay, you got Hong Kong, China versus Uganda on the 13th.
Uh-huh.
I'm calling that one.
All right.
And then your final game, Hong Kong, China versus Italy at Mission Road on the 16th. I'll be calling that one. So all your sledging about calling me old man is going to come back and bite you on the butt here, Zeeshan Ali, because I'm calling every single one of the Hong Kong, China games, plus three others, during the ICC Challenge League. So, that, I mean, it's going to build up. You've got that Italian side with Joe Burns to face.
I heard Joe Burns is not coming.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard
Well,
rumors.
That is the best news I've heard on the podcast in a long time. Though there's still two A-grade New South Wales players.
They're missing their English first-class player as well.
Oh, well, that's terrible news. I'm so sad for Italy. Oh, well, good news for us. Yeah, it's going to be on. It's going to be huge. So you've got to play at least three games in the one-day series, rest up, and then into the ICC Challenge League.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up our very good interview with Zeeshan, is that there's nothing in the backstory that you've told us today that perhaps you've not listed? Because we did have a guest on 2 weeks ago who somehow managed to leave out the fact that he jumped out of a hotel on fire, break his ankle, and that's why he stopped playing cricket for 3 years. I read it in the SCMP, and I'm like, what? This wasn't in the podcast. So you don't have one of these stories?
No, I don't have it.
You sure?
No, 100%. Sure,
because if you end up in the SCMP next week and I find out it wasn't on the podcast again, that's it. The PAC seed players are banned for the podcast.
Imagine if Zeeshan rocks up bowling a leg spin in the challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I don't bowl leg spin anymore. Take Ansh's role. Zeeshan, thank you so much for joining us. And like, it's great to hear your backstory growing up in Lahore and then moving across to Hong Kong and just fitting in so nicely. And like number one wicketkeeper by far. One of my favourite players to watch, even though he sledges me. It's supposed to be the other way around. You're not supposed to sledge the commentator. You're supposed to
I'm not sledging. I'm just kidding with you.
It's just a factual observation.
I went home and almost shaved the beard off. I was so upset that Zeeshan Ali called me old man. Joking. The beard stayed. It gives me gravitas. Until it gets too hot, then I will shave it off. And one day, Zeeshan, your beard's going to be white.
Yeah.
And it's going to come back. I'm just waiting. I'm not going to die until I'm like 65 so I can give Zeeshan a hard time. Anyway, thank you so much. Natashev, it's been great. And you still keep bringing in the big guests.
Yes, big game again. Thank you so much,
Zeeshan,
for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Good fun.
Always denied entry by the English gentry. Now we're driving.
Yes, time for the women's cricket wrap, and as always, Tammy Chu is joining us with a big grin, gloating face about last weekend's Women's T10 Cup. Tammy, thanks for joining us.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, well, let's start with your game against the IC Velocity. My big tip, the IC Velocity, we're going to get the upset against the Willow Wielders. What happened?
Whoa. We were sent to back first. And well done to Georgina, getting 38 runs, not out.
Yeah, you mixed up the openers. Did you send Maya out? No.
Maya was on third, but yeah. it got like a duck from Maya.
Yeah, Maya's only wicket, I think. She got two first. She got the only two.
Yeah, she got the only two wicket.
So 96 for 2 in 10, big score.
Yeah.
The Velocity with their big hitting Vansi Chowdhury.
Yes.
You got that wicket pretty quick.
Yes. I think we got her out second over.
Yeah, I think she...
And then she was out on 5, four by Betty Shan and caught by Katie.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a disaster. I was watching this while commentating the All-Stars final, and Chris Wilson Pickup kept showing me the score. And I mean, that first couple of wickets fell for the Willow Wielders. I'm like, okay, I'm in this game. And then it was like Georgina Bradley went and smashed at 96. And then once Vansi went down, it was just a grind to the end. Only managing 35 for 5, the IC Velocity. They bowed out and the Willow Wielders went straight through to the final. Betty Chan, not on the top batter or bowler list, but oh no, she did. She got 2 for 1 off 2.
Yes.
That's exactly. Ridiculous. Player of the match, Betty Chan, as always. You got the tip right there. Then we both picked the Sunrisers to go straight through to the final to play you. And we were wrong. This was a big upset. I mean, it's not big because the Wasps are a very strong side.
Yeah.
But they restricted the Sunrisers to 81 for 3. With Dorothea Chan top scoring with a 28. Amanda Chu also getting a 26. 81 for 3, not a bad score.
No.
But then...
Actually, not bad at
all. The Wasps went and smashed it.
Yeah, and I think, well, because I was there waiting for my final.
Yes. like, go on. Carry on.
And then, well, there were some midfield, some drop catchers. So that's why Shenzhen and Miriam just hang in there and then just hit.
84 for the loss of no wicket. Marion Bibby with a 60 off 31. Also got a 1 for 23 of the ball. Player of the match, the Wasps go through. Did they only play with 9 players? 10 players?
10 players, yes.
So they destroyed the Sunrisers with 10 players.
Exactly.
Well, that was a poor tip from both of us. So the big final, of course, the Hong Kong Cricket Club Willow Wielders against the, was it still 10 player Wasps?
Yes.
Okay. This was a big hitting final. Emma Lai.
Crazy.
Tell me, talk me through this innings. So the Wasps won the toss. They elected to bowl. Yeah. Emma Lai goes out to bat. Who did she go to bat with?
Alison.
Went out to bat with Alison and they scored 116, but Emma Lai scored 72 of them.
Yes, exactly. Well, with the extras, been like 16. So like in total, both of them hit like 100 runs.
So Alison was just like rotating the strike or what? Because that's 189.47 strike rate from Emma Lai.
Yeah.
How she cannot get a game for Hong Kong China, I do not know. 72 off 38, 10 fours, 116 on the board. Massive total to chase down. But the Wasps, they tried their best. Marion Bibby again in the runs. 46 off 24, Shanzine with a 37. It went close, but not close enough for the Wasps.
Yes, I would say we would struggle a bit in the first few innings because Miriam was hitting really big, like just tried to hit a boundary like every ball. But then our young Kimaya come on, bowled, and it caught at the long on by Jasmine.
Oh, got close to the boundary, so Kimaya getting a big wicket, 1 for 17 for Kimaya. Alison Sue with 1 for 14. The Wasps after 10, 100 for 4. They went down by 16 runs. The champions for the 2024-25 Cricket Hong Kong China Women's T10 Cup, Hong Kong Cricket Club Willow Wielders. Congratulations to
Thank you,
Tammy Chu, and the team. I don't have the button on there to clap, so I'm just going to have to do it physically. Well done. I had a shocker there, so I've given you 2 of the 3 tips, and Tammy's now in front of the tips on this as well.
Yay.
Both the Women's Cricket Wrap and the Challenge League I'm losing on. Tammy on 36 as on 35. Now, three games this weekend. We're going back into T20 mode, right?
Yes, we are going to back on the T20. And I think after a few more games, and then we will go into Premier League soon.
Oh, I can't. There's only the three games because we're doing 2 weeks' worth of podcast this week because of the Chinese New Year. But I've only got three games in the system. So whatever happens after this week, I don't know. We'll cover it when we come back.
Yeah, we don't know as well because we need to finish the final round of the T20. Then we decide who we're going to play against.
Okay, so let's finish it off. First game at 8:30 a.m. Sunday, January 26th, at PKVR Reservoir. The KCC Maidens up against the Craigengarra Cricket Club, Fung Wong.
I would say I always loved the Fung Wong because I start playing with Fung Wong. But
oh, I've already typed in Fung Wong. Too late.
But if
there's no buts,
if and only if Yasmin is playing, I will go for KCC.
I saw her having lunch with Mariko Hill here at KCC today, getting some tips. So just having lunch because they're best friends. So I don't know. I have not asked her. She was busy with Mariko having lunch, so I don't know if Yasmin is playing.
I would say KCC.
I am also going with KCC. Lantau Ladies versus the Sunrisers. This is the 11:30 a.m. game. They can't do me in twice, can they? Surely not.
Yeah, I would go for the Sunrisers.
Yeah, I've got to go for the Sunrisers. They're not going to do it. They're not going to go down twice, even though the Lantau Ladies will do their best. And the final game at 2:30 p.m. The luckless Serendip Lionesses up against the very powerful runners-up of the T10 comp, the Asqua Little Siwon Wasps. I mean,
even only if they turn up, still, Wasps going to win the game.
Which one are you saying turns up, the Lionesses or the Wasps?
The Lionesses.
Because the Lionesses rarely do turn up, you're right.
Yeah.
But yes, if they do turn up, it's going to be a long time in the field. Especially if the Wasps bat first, because the form that Marion Bibby's in is ridiculous. And I mean, they're such a strong side. Yes, so that'll round out the T20 round robin.
Yes.
And then we need to figure out what's coming up for the final.
I think the top three team going to go straight to the semi-final.
Okay.
And then the rest for the team will fight for the last spot of the semi-final.
Okay. Now, do I have... That's women's division two. Okay,
the points table.
I've got a points table for Div 2, but I'm not quite on the right page at the moment for Div 1. I'll go through the Div 2 table, which is, this is finished. So this will be the final. You're saying the top three from Div 2 will play off in a finals format?
No, there will be like semi-final, and then the rest of the team will fight for the last spot in the semi-final. So
all seven teams in Div 2 will play in the finals round. How many?
Yeah. They will still play against each other.
So I'll read through this. You find Division 1 table while I read through Division 2. Top of the table, undefeated, 4 wins, 2 losses. The always winning Lama Roses with 10 points. Just 1 point ahead of IC Velocity, who have had 4 wins and a loss. And Link Fireflies as well. Two of my favourite teams, 4 and 1, 9 points. On 8 points, the Cavaliers. The SEC Pinay on 4 points. The Diamonds with 2 points. And USRC Eagles, who I don't even know if they've turned up for a game yet, have 0 points from their 6 games. That's the Div 2 table. What's the current Div 1 table, Tammy?
So the current Div 1 table on the top, it's Sunrisers. And then the second is the Lantau Ladies, which they are going to play against each other. Both of them are on 10 points now. So whoever wins will get like 2 more points
at
the top of the table.
That's a big match then.
Yes. And then the third place at the moment is the HKCC Willow Wilders. We already played all our games and we got 10 points. So I believe we will be in the third place anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes the fourth. The fourth place is the SCC Divas, which also play all their games, got 7 points. And then the KCC Maidens got 6 points at the moment.
Ooh,
and
that's interesting. They could go to 8 points if they win.
Yes, then they will be finishing on the fourth in the round robin. And then next one, the sixth place, is the DLSW Wasps. Got only 4 points at the moment.
That was just, the main stars couldn't play for the first half of the season.
Yes, exactly. But I mean, they still got a chance to, if they finish top after the second round, they will still got a point in the semi-final.
Yeah, but I have no doubt that team will be playing late into the final system, even if they're that far down.
Yeah.
They could beat any team on that list with their full side.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else?
And then the second last is TCC Phone Wong got 3 points, and the last one is the Serendip Lioness.
Okay. Well, that's what we expected.
Yeah.
So there we have it. So we'll figure out. Well, the games will be done by the time we come back with a podcast in 2 weeks' time. So we'll give a wrap of what happens in the next section and what we have going forward. But as we stand, there's three great games out at PKVR Reservoir this weekend. Tammy Chu, another great women's cricket wrap. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And happy Chinese New Year.
Happy Chinese New Year. Gentlemen and players play Sunday.
Thirty teams, three leagues, Hong Kong's finest. It's Challenge League time.
Oh yeah, Challenge League time, and another disastrous tipping week for me coming up. Let's go through the games, Nitesh.
So just keep in mind, I'm two tips ahead of you. Scores 30-28 as we head into last weekend's game.
Let's keep that in mind. Let's not.
First up, Indus CC versus Master Blasters. You and I.
Indus is going to. It's an easy win over the Master Blasters.
We both thought that. We both were wrong. Indus CC managing just 169 all out up at GDB. 56 for Mohammad Tasif. 38 from Riaz. Not much else with the bat. 6 for 34 for Tathagat Sarkar. So well bowled, Tathagat Sarkar. I don't think that's his first game this season, but definitely the first time we've seen his name come up on the wicket taking charts.
Went the distance, though.
Yeah, in reply, Master Blasters got off to a shaky start, lost a wicket in the first ball, and they were 24 for 2 and 4.4, but then Krishna Kumar Pawar, we've seen that name before, and Anshul Jarad rebuilt the innings. Niranjan Naik, 27-14, he's been in good form. Gurpreet Narula, 21 not out of 8. They kept hammering it there, they kept losing wickets, just back and forth. In the end, they hung on there to get over the line with just 3 balls and 2 wickets to spare. 4 wickets for Shafakat Ali. But Indus CC beaten in a famous win for the Master Blasters. Well done to them.
Well done.
Not well done to us.
Okay, let's have a look at Challenge League Division 1 game also at GDB. TCC, the Tung Chung Cricket Club, isn't it?
Yeah, Tung Chung Cricket Club Strikers versus the Ceylon Sports and Recreation Club of Hong Kong Frontiers. The Strikers batted first, were bowled out 19.5 overs for 174.
Frontiers got this then.
42 from Vasant Reddy, 46 from Vipul Kumar Jain, 3 wickets for Mahesh Kumara, and 3 wickets from Pasan Nimasara, who I believe is Mahesh's son, if I've got that correct. So father-son pairing there. I might get that wrong, but I think I've got that correct. Father-son pairing there.
They are now.
6 wickets for the Frontiers. The Frontiers batted out 20 overs, lost 5 wickets, and still fell short.
Yep. No, see, that's just unacceptable in Challenge League. You cannot have 5 wickets in hand and still manage to lose by 11 runs.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have been all out, throwing the bat at everything at the end, trying to get those runs. But in the end, 11 runs short. I mean, the top 3 bowlers are all from the Frontiers. The leading scorer,
with the card that umpala, 52 retired.
He's from the Frontiers, and they still somehow managed to lose it for me.
Subhayu Hansaka, the opener man, 31 of 47 balls, and I think that cost them because while the rest of the lineup managed to go more or less run a ball, if not faster, they still fell short. They had 28
this
wides.
This is what
I'm
saying. Yeah. Budikar could have come back in if you didn't have 5 wickets in hand. You got to think about this stuff, Frontiers. I'm not picking you again until you have a good, long, hard think about it, okay? Right, Division 2.
Just to clarify, I did pick the Strikers and I got that right.
Well, quite obviously you did. I'm not going off because we both got it wrong. Okay, Div 2. Markles, the GOAT. I've done the in versus Lama Power, who I'm now on board with Lama everything. Lama can't lose.
Lama can't lose. I love that. Lama did not lose. Mark Hoare is batting first. 58 for Mohammad Ahmed, opening the batting. He's in great touch of the bat, former University Cricketer of the Year. But Mark Hoare is only managing 137 for 9. That was 20 from Sohail Anwar and not much else. Ian Brown, Skipper Brownie, taking 4 for 27. There was a wicket for Royce McDonald, who gave just 20 runs away in 4 overs. Incredible from the ageless Royce McDonald. In reply, Lama Power, 43 from Dheeraj Varma, 38 from Liam O'Toole, absolutely smoked it. Got there with 2 overs and 7 wickets to spare. Big win for Lama Power. And a tip we both got right.
Hooray! Finally, I'm on the tip board again. Let's have a look at the Div 1 table, shall we? At the top, Indus, who did me in, still up the top. 6 games, 5 wins, 1 loss. They've got 10 points. A good 3-point gap back to the Charlie Bears Challenge.
Charlie Bears Challenge hanging in there. Thanks to the no result, because them Asians United, Chingy Smash and TCC Strikers all have 3 wins each. So 6 points for all of them, except Charlie Bears with 1 no result are on 7. Golden Stars, Caribbean, the Master Blasters all on 4 points. It's Frontiers and the Gladiators who will be facing relegation. They're on 3 and 2 points respectively. So tough season for both those teams, Frontiers having just quoted.
Once the Frontiers sit down and have a good long hard think about it, maybe they won't be sitting in 9th. Okay, we've got some batting and bowling tables. What have we got?
Indeed we have. So batting, quite a few of guys who've now crossed the 150-run mark. Krishna Kumapa, 158 runs. Mohammad Tasif, 165 runs. Hamad Ali, 167 runs. At an average of 83.5, I must note, and a striker at 175. He's been good for the Golden Stars. But top of the run scoring charts, Ashutosh Singh, 175 for the Chingy Smashers. Over at the bowling charts, we've got 2 balls and 10 wickets, Mahesh Kumara of the Frontiers, and Ashish Nathak of the Strikers, 10 wickets apiece for the 2 of them. Sultan Naveed Khan on 9, Mohammad Tayyab Ali on 9, Zafar Gohar on 8. It must be worth noting that we've got a good spread of teams here in the CC represented on both charts. Chingy Smashers representing the batting, Golden Stars, Gladiators, Frontiers. So performances all across Division 1.
I'm going to let you do the rest of the table. I've just got to go talk to somebody. Keep going.
1-2 Division 2 points table, the Avengers. Unbeaten atop, 4 wins off 4 of this points table is to be believed. There's 6 points each for the Panthers, the Rhinos, the Yau Tsim Mong Cricket District team, and the Lama Power, who have a game in hand with just 1 loss. They're all rounding up middle and will be in contention for a spot in the final and potentially promotion. Madras CC with 2 wins, 3 losses may have missed their promotion chance. Indians United having played just 2 games, shocking enough, but I think they may have had 1 game that's not been logged onto the system yet. Serum did try to do 3 games, also I think missing a game there, so not quite sure where they really stand, but they've got 2 points each. And then the Marcours, 5 losses in 5 games, probably facing relegation in Div 3, along with HKUSC Challenge League, who've only played 2 games but have lost both of them. So still time for the HKUST boys to turn things around. The run scoring charts, despite sitting near the bottom, Sohail Anwar is top of the run charts for the Marcours, 171, average 57. So
he's a one-man goat. I'm back, by the way. Yeah, one-man goat.
Well, Mohammed Ahmed's 5th on run scoring charts as well for the Goats. So it's been the 2 of them carrying it with the bat. Not much else there. Mustaq Kaurav and Arun Desai are also in the top run scorers. For the bowlers, Arvind has 9 wickets for Yau Tsim Mong Cricket District team. Tane for the Panthers has 8 wickets, as is Saifur for Rahman and Ashish Patel. Justin Eager from Lama Power with 7 wickets in 4 games rounds off the top 5.
All right, Div 3, the table at the top.
Lama Viking, there's Lama Lama everywhere. The Vikings looking to contend for a final and a promotion up to Division 2. They're joined by HKU students up top. We've got 3 wins in just 3 games so far. I'm surprised they've only played 3, but they've got a good start off to their season. The Lanta Sloggers have dropped 2 already of 5 games. They're on 6 points as well as the DLSW Rising Stars with 3 wins and a loss. Island Rangers Border Blasters rounding off the middle. Kaelin with just the 1 win. Former title contenders now near the bottom of Div 3. HQ Belchers with just 1 win. The Pioneers with just 1 win. And Yunwo with no wins in the 5 games rounding off the bottom. You look at the run scoring charts. It's it's Lantau Sloggers dominating the batting charts with Hassan in first place. Ashraq Zulkarnain in third. Both scoring the runs at a pretty healthy strike rate. 247 for Hassan. Definitely worth noting that strike rate. Raya Matan Qureshi. HQ students in third for the run scoring charts. Mark Cornell in fourth. And Ishan Nihar of Little Saiwan Rising Stars in fifth. The wicket taking charts have Tanmay Thakur of Lama Vikings up top, leading his side with the ball. Average of 4.44. That is ridiculous. 9 wickets in 4 innings. Kostab Vachani of HKU Belchers then second, despite his team's poor performance. The Belchers are represented on the wicket taking charts. Shaquille Huck has played for Hong Kong under 19 or thereabouts in the past. Shaquille Huck, veteran now, has got 7 wickets for Lantau Sloggers. Vance Jane, his performances for HK students, 3 games so far, 7 wickets. Good economy rate, has seen him called up to the Saturday team. And Sihan Sivanandam of the Hong Kong 19s. Bushy's happy about that. Left arm spinner, 3 innings, 7 wickets is in at 5th.
All right. There we are. There are the tables. Let's have a look at next 2 weeks' matches, shall we?
So just keep in mind, I'm 3 points ahead of you in the tipping right now.
Shut up, Mitesh. Seriously, it's your bloody thing. You should be miles ahead. I'm going to get some points back this week. I'm not going to make the same mistakes. Yes, I am. Div 1, it's the Pak Golden Stars up against the Tung Chung Caribbeans out of GDB on the 26th.
I'm going Golden Stars.
Golden Stars versus the Caribbeans. Now we've got some tables. You're giving me a little bit of assistance. Both these teams have played 4. 2 wins, 2 losses.
Yep. I just like the Golden Stars makeup. I know the squad and all the players. They're a good team. I think they'll get this done.
So you got Hamad Ali making runs at a good average too. I'm if in doubt, I lean to pack. So I'm gonna
copy me.
Shut up. The Caribbeans have done me in before. So
the Caribbeans have a big weekend. Not only are they playing on the 26th, they are then in action again on 2nd Feb against the struggling Gladiators.
Okay. Now I'm back on the Caribbean. So
you're picking against Atlas team.
They're terrible. So no offense, but I mean, they are not firing yet. They need to sit down and have a good chat.
They did reach the final of the PKVR Park Morning League.
They're 1-4.
They've not clicked yet this season. It might turn around for them.
It might. Not this week, though. They might. Okay, what are you going with?
I'm going with DCC as well. Sorry, Arthur. I did try to help you a bit there.
No,
okay.
Don't try to faint me. I'm got this under control.
Div right. 2, USRC Avengers against the Serendip Tritons.
I really don't know what I'm talking about, so I keep scrolling back up to see where these two teams are. We got the Serendip Tritons against... Yeah.
USRC Avengers.
Okay. Well, okay. So you've really done yourself in putting the tables in this script now.
You asked me to.
I'm very glad you did. I'm very happy. I have some idea what I'm doing.
Avengers, they're both going for top of the table Avengers. Indians United versus HKUSD Challenge League on 2nd Feb.
Div 2. Mm. So Indians United are in 7th and they're playing who?
HKUSD Challenge League.
Ooh, yet to fire, but only played 2 games, lost them both.
I think there's also a forfeit loss for HKUC Challenge League when they were struggling for numbers in Christmas.
Yeah, that's not selling it, is it?
But so I think they've only played 1 game, really.
Well, Indians United only played 2, 1 win, 1 loss.
Yeah, so
well,
very tough here.
Whatever game they won well, though. They've almost got the best net run rate in the entire competition, True. Which is amazing.
True.
Considering they lost a game. I don't know, that must have been a forfeit perhaps as well. Okay, if they turn up, I'm going with Indians.
I'm going with Indians as well. Just because I think USD Challenge, they have heard some stories about one of the main players has left HKUSD, Asiri. I'd have to check with him if he's actually left. But if he has left HKUSD, that's the main guy who would arrange the teams from what I was aware of. So that might hurt them a little bit.
You said that you've got the next 2 weeks games, but they're all on the... Oh, no, they're the 2nd of February games at the moment.
There's not that many games of Challenge League.
The Div 3 game is only on this weekend.
Yeah, there's only one Div 3 game. Yeah.
Before you ask, Island Rangers.
Yeah, Island Rangers with HKCC's Yan Wo. I'll go with the Island Rangers as well because Yan Wo are struggling. This means, Bushy, we have no difference in picks.
Yeah, but I'm not like you. I'm not just going to pick one different because it might give me a point of difference. It's just stupid. I'm going to go with who I'm going to win. It worked, but only out of sheer luck. Okay, it's not going to work in the Challenge League. There's no point. I mean, it's Chaos League. I understand anything can happen. Indians United might not put a whole side together.
True.
And I could go with HS, but I'm not. Okay, so I'll just stay 3 points behind. We'll be fine, and then we'll do it all again in 2 weeks' time. Good luck to all the Challenge League players playing over the next 2 weeks. It's always so much fun, and we'll cover it again soon.
And now it's time for Bushy's Birthday Bonanza.
Birthday time, and we're going to start with a birthday we did last week anyway, but we did it too early. His birthday is actually this Saturday. It is one Shelton De Cruz, umpire and player extraordinaire. He'll be turning 47 on Saturday the 25th.
Happy birthday, Shelton. Also having a birthday coming up on the 29th of Jan. Everyone's favourite and local legend. You know him, you love him. It's Atif Hussain. Happy birthday to the big Atif.
My boss at Cricket Hong Kong Broadcasting. He'll be celebrating a 39th birthday on the 29th. Now, we're doing 2 weeks' worth of birthdays this time. Hopefully, I've done the count right and we don't have to double up again. Having a birthday, turning 53 on February 5. I'm sure there's a international game on that he'll be watching. Cricket Hong Kong China assistant women's coach now, Jawade Iqbal.
Happy birthday, Jawade.
On the same day.
On the same day.
The Mo.
HKCC is the World Croquet Championship representative. Hong Kong Croquet Champion.
He gave me a Hong Kong... He gave me a World Croquet T-shirt.
There we go. It's none other than Tom Ingram. Happy birthday, Tom. 35 years
hopefully
old.
Hopefully the Mo is still back on because he's a baby-faced junior if he doesn't have that mustache on. On the 6th, there's 2 birthdays. Firstly, Amanda. Not far away from selection for not Hong Kong, but New Zealand. Ronak Kapoor having his 21st birthday on February 6th.
Happy birthday, Ronak. And then also from HKCC, who's played Premier Cricket now down the Gap Ramblers, captaining them, having a great time. Same age as me. Happy 34th birthday, Mr. Jack Metters.
34 years young for Jack. So there's the birthdays for the next 2 weeks. Happy birthday to Shelton, Atif, Jawade, Tom, Ronnie and Jack.
Hi, I'm Sahar Malvankar from HKCC. You're listening to the 8 for 52 podcast with Bushy.
Oh, another bumper episode of the 8 for 52 podcast. Natesh, 18 deliveries in for season 2, third over done. Big guest.
Big guest, Ishan Ali. Very good, very professional interview. A lot of details, a lot of story there. Nothing hidden from us, I hope.
Absolutely. And if Paul McNamara gets another scoop on me from the SCMP, I'm going to be salty. Yes, Yasim, if you're not listening, I might clip that up, the bit where I ask Zishan if he hasn't left out any details and tag him in it. So that was a good chat. And he's got so many games coming out. We didn't do a Sky Plaza Road, but we'll do one in the middle of the...
We don't have the squads. They're kept up secret here. They've been lock and key.
Like, this is why I have to prod. Like, Heda Ali playing for Bahrain? Zishan thinks no, but we don't know until the first game.
Well, the current methodology in CHK is to put the squads out one day before the tournament starts, going through what they've done in the past, a 3-2-1 countdown.
They only put out the press release that the one-day tournament was on today.
Yeah, exactly, with pictures.
That's why I was talking to you during this week. I found out more about what games I'll be broadcasting in the next 4 months from a press release that was talking about the food supply than I ever get from Cricket Hong Kong. So I go, they're going to be supplying the food for this tournament. I'm like, okay, should I put that in my diary? I don't know yet. So we got the one-day Tri-Nation series starting with, it's Uganda versus
Uganda's
Hong Kong,
first game,
China.
Yeah.
And then it's...
I've heard there's an 18-man squad tentatively
for Hong Kong, China.
Yeah, because there's a long, long couple of weeks coming up.
We talked about that in ins and outs. We can't pick the teams.
Yeah.
How do we pick the Tony Turners if Essan's not playing?
Yeah, exactly. We don't know if they would be allowed to play this Sunday. We don't know when the squad goes into preparation mode.
Imagine that Essan can't, but Heda Ali can.
He will play. Heather Ali will 100% play because he's not in the Hong Kong team.
Yeah, but maybe the Bahrain team has the same sort of rules. But if he's not playing for Bahrain, he's going to play for the Tony Turners while Essan can't. What a crazy system. Heaps covered also in the women's cricket wrap with the wrap-up of the T10. Yes. The T20s are back.
Yep, one more round of T20s this Sunday, and then we've got this round two where we're waiting for the fixtures to come out as soon as this weekend's done.
As we mentioned with Tammy, I can't forward project 2 weeks' time because there's only 1 week's worth of fixtures out. What else did we do? Challenge League,
yes, you're getting destroyed in the dipping.
Destroyed? I'm down by 3. You're down by 10 in the main one. Two weekends in a row where you've actually beaten me in chips, but you've only beaten me by one in each of the outs and ins.
Slow and steady wins the race there.
Yeah, as long as the season goes until like November, you're going to get me. So it's another big week of cricket coming up. 2 weeks, in fact. We're going to have next week off for Chinese New Year. Well, Natesh will be working the 1 days. I'll be up the hill on the 31st.
You are up the hill, so one of the 1 day games because Mission Olives blows the Chinese New Year.
Are you going to come?
I'll be there.
You'll be there.
I'll be there.
Work. It's not another day off.
Not anymore because the game's coming up.
Oh, fair enough.
It was going to be otherwise.
Thank you, Hong Kong.
So if required, I can hop in the commentary box or behind a camera, whatever Atif needs, because I'll be there and thereabouts.
Excellent. Well, that'll be fun. Uganda and Bahrain, that game.
They're going to lose so many balls.
It's going to be fun.
The road, the pitches, the ground is already not big enough for List A cricket, and then we've got roads, the beautifully flat pitches that have been prepared by Peter all season.
I've heard that you've got a lawn bowls tournament the night before.
We've had to adjust that a little bit. There is one. It's not happening, I think, but it's just been adjusted a bit.
Because that's usually like glass when you smack it over that lawn bowls and it raises away for four.
Oh, it's going to be...
And if it's been really mowed down for a lawn bowls comp, it's just going to be absolute ice.
It could be a 400-play-400 game up there. I don't think we're going to have a bowler-friendly return.
My throat's already getting sore from having to scream that many fours and sixes.
I'm just more concerned with CHK's balls budget. I hope they bring enough spares up there.
Well, hopefully. We'll be fine. So that's all going on for the next 2 weeks. It's been another great episode. Natesh, thanks for joining us. Should we go home?
Thank you. Let's go home.
See ya.
Hello. Good morning. We're tossing a coin to begin.
The 8 for 52 theme song is the coin toss from the band The Duckworth Lewis Method. Find them on Apple iTunes and YouTube and download that song and all their other cricket-related music.
The 8 for 52 podcast is edited, produced and published by Matt Botfield and Aaron Bush for Trip Ahead Limited.
Copyright 2024.
And that's that.